Facebook, Google Plus, Q's on to Chinese must. Seen a Weibo form spring, Habbo is a teen thing. LinkedIn's a business gauge, Ren Ren's an Asian rage. Instagram for photo shares, Bebo's good for questionnaire.
Yes, social media is here to stay. It's not going anywhere in a hurry, and it might be affecting our well-being. That's according to the Australian Psychological Society's latest Stress and Wellbeing in Australia survey. It suggests that social media causes fear of missing out, better known as FOMO, and that can lead to depression and even anxiety. Andrew Fuller is a clinical psychologist and a member of APS, and he joins me now. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, Patricia.
So FOMO is a real thing. It's not just something you make jokes about, because I've been making jokes about it for a long time.
Yes, FOMO and FONK, fear of not knowing, are very real things. Lots of people absolutely are worried about the idea that they might miss out on what's happening around the place, or missing out on events or invitations or what their friends are up to. So much so, not only do they, some of them dictate their holidays around that, some of them basically lose sleep.
What do you mean they dictate their holidays around it?
Well, I think there's an increasing trend of people selecting places where there's connectivity because they really don't want to be out of the cycle very long at all. Of course, there's another group who desperately look for holiday destinations where they're totally disconnected because otherwise they never disconnect. But there's certainly a group of people who are very concerned about being out of the loop even for a short period of time.
And this isn't just about young people. You found adults are affected too. I find that really interesting because a lot of our focus is that young people are really desperately affected by this. But you're saying that adults are victims too.
Yeah, that was interesting. I think that actually there wasn't much difference between adults and young teenagers about the amount of usage overall on average of social media. So it was an interesting kind of trend. So perhaps against expectations, that lots and lots of people are really tied into this and find it, you know, generally a pretty fulfilling part of their lives, obviously, because they're so kind of compulsive about it. But also, I get, it also offers the best and I think the worst of life as well. So, you know, we have some terrific effects from social media, connecting in with people that we don't necessarily otherwise see face-to-face and catching up with old friends and school people that we haven't caught up with for years. But, of course, when bad stuff travels around the internet, of course, it travels fast and it travels hard.
This year was the first time the study explored the impact of social media on behaviour and well-being. What did you find out about the link between the two?
What we found really was that very high users were more prone to experiencing some anxious symptoms of anxiety and report also depressive symptomatology as well. So about 25-26% of young Australians really have, you know, quite a level of psychological disturbance. But in the severe category, that's down to about probably about 5% of Australians are really severely depressed. At about 13% are severely distressed. That's down a bit from where it used to be. The peak was in 2013 for both of those, so we've improved a bit. Where we've not improved is in the area of anxiety, and I think that's something that's rife not only among young people, as we often hear, but also among the adults.
Okay, so I can't help but ask, given we are now in a hyperculture where social media is everywhere, where we basically addicted to it, as you say, at different levels, but overwhelmingly most people are on some platform, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. There are so many vehicles for it. How can we help people? How do we create a culture where we can do it safely in a way that prevents these kind of really horrible consequences?
Well, we've known for years that there's a conversational disparity between kids who come from household, by the time they enter school, the kids that come from households where they're poor families compared to reasonably well-to-do families. And that gap has been estimated at 30 million words less, a conversation being had to a child who's in poverty compared to one in reasonably well-to-do circumstances. So for poor kids from poor families, conversation has become quite abnormal, really, quite something you're not used to. Now, what we're seeing in more recent times is, of course, this is not just an attribute of poverty, it's an attribute of high social media usage as well. So we have a vast number of people to whom having an in-depth conversation is very unfamiliar. Having a having an in-depth conversation which is not distracted by social media is almost the abnormal. And so this is important, of course, for all of us, because we derive much of our social support, much of our love, much of our problem-solving through talking to other people about issues. And if we don't know how to do it, then we're in lots of trouble, because when tough times happen, as they happen to us all, we often don't know how to have the conversations we need to have to get a different perspective on it. So this is not affecting just young people, it's affecting everyone. And the idea of the sort of social cohesion in the community starts to unglue and unhinge. That's a bit of a worry.
Do you have to be a really high-end user for this to happen? I mean, how often do you have to use social media to be at risk of depression and anxiety?
I've no doubt there are people who use social media at very high levels who also have incredibly happy and balanced lives. It's not, we don't want to kind of make a monster out of social media. It's really, I think, about making sure that you look out for yourselves and for the members of your family and try to make sure that they do other things apart from just have virtual friends and have virtual conversations, because that's not going to be a replacement for the real thing. I mean, you can get all sorts of advice on the internet. Some of it's useful, but there's a lot of diabolically pretty nasty advice as well, which is not going to be helpful. So it's nothing really beats sitting down with somebody that you trust, who's got your best interest at heart, who's going to talk you through an issue that you're facing. So unless we help young people to be used to that, they're in trouble.
So given we are now, it's part of a kind of connected world, we are codependent on it in some way, going cold turkey is not really an option. It's about creating, what is it, boundaries around when you use it, the frequency. Is that a way that you could deal with it?
I think one of the things we have to do is to help young people themselves to mature as cyber citizens. So we set up in schools around Australia what we call cyber doctors. These are young people who get together and they talk about what's great about the internet and what you shouldn't share on the internet, some of the things, the warning signs, if things are getting too consuming for you, and what to do if you've done something that you later on regret online, or something that's happened to you that's a bit nasty. And helping young people then to discuss that with other young people, I think, is a really promising approach, because obviously, you know, a lot of these young people are teenagers, and teenagers don't always listen to what adults have to tell them. I know it's a surprise to you all, but they're not that much interested in what adults have to say to you. So it's important that kids talk to kids about this and help them to get to a considered position around it, where they, I mean, I think kids are social people. We're all social people, so kids are intensely social people, but we've got to remind them that there are multiple ways of connecting with friends and linking with them.
Andrew, thank you so much for your time.
It's a great pleasure.
And thank that's you. Clinical psychologist Andrew Fuller from the Australian Psychological Society, which is currently marking Psychology Week. Are you addicted to social media? And if you are, have you ever noticed that you feel more anxious, or perhaps even depressed, miserable, if something happens on social media? You get FOMO. FOMO, no longer something that's just funny. It's actually a serious thing for many people. 0418 226 576. That's our number here at RN Drive.